Disc 8.
Geologists did a hasty survey and discovered that a large area of the park had developed an ominous bulge. This was lifting up one end of the lake and causing the water to run out at the other, as would happen if you lifted one side of a child's wading pool. By 1984, the whole central region of the park, several dozen square miles, was more than 3 feet higher than it had been in 1924, when the park was last formally surveyed. Then, in 1985, the whole of the central part of the park subsided by 8 inches. It now seems to be swelling again. The geologists realized that only one thing could cause this, a restless magma chamber. Yellowstone wasn't the site of an ancient supervolcano. It was the site of an active one. It was also at about this time that they were able to work out that the cycle of Yellowstone's eruptions averaged one massive blow every 600,000 years. The last one, interestingly enough, was 630,000 years ago. Yellowstone, it appears, is due. It may not feel like it, but you're standing on the largest active volcano in the world. Paul Doss, Yellowstone National Park geologist, told me soon after climbing off an enormous Harley-Davidson motorcycle and shaking hands when we met at the park headquarters at Mammoth Hot Springs early on a lovely morning in June. A native of Indiana, Doss is an amiable, soft-spoken, extremely thoughtful man who looks nothing like a National Park Service employee. He has a graying beard and hair tied back in a long ponytail. A small sapphire stud graces one ear. A slight paunch strains against his crisp Park Service uniform. He looks more like a blues musician than a government employee. In fact, he is a blues musician, harmonica, but he sure knows and loves geology. "And I've got the best place in the world to do it," he says, as we set off in a bouncy, battered four-wheel drive vehicle in the general direction of Old Faithful. He has agreed to let me accompany him for a day as he goes about doing whatever it is a park geologist does. The first assignment today is to give an introductory talk to a new crop of tour guides. Yellowstone, I hardly need point out, is sensationally beautiful, with plump, stately mountains, bison-specked meadows, tumbling streams, a sky-blue lake, wildlife beyond counting. "It really doesn't get any better than this if you're a geologist," Doss says. "You've got rocks up at Bear Tooth Gap that are nearly 3 billion years old, three-quarters of the way back to Earth's beginning. And then you've got mineral springs here," he points at the sulphurous hot springs from which Mammoth takes its title, "where you can see rocks as they're being born. And in between there's everything you could possibly imagine. I've never been any place where geology is more evident or prettier." "So you like it?" I say. "Oh, no, I love it," he answers with profound sincerity. "I mean, I really love it here. The winters are tough, and the pay's not too hot, but when it's good, it's just..." He interrupted himself to point out a distant gap in a range of mountains to the west, which had just come into view over a rise. The mountains, he told me, were known as the Gallatins. "That gap is 60 or maybe 70 miles across. For a long time, nobody could understand why that gap was there, and then Bob Christensen realized that it had to be because the mountains were just blown away. When you've got 60 miles of mountains just obliterated, you know you're dealing with something pretty potent. It took Christensen 6 years to figure it all out.